everybody. My name's Jonathan Oakes. Welcome back to Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. I'm here once again with my friends Mark and Chris. How are you guys doing today?
Awesome.
I'm doing pretty well today, man. I mean, are you sure your name's Jonathan, though?
Last I checked.
Okay, fair enough. Just wanted to double check, you know.
I had to.
A little discount double check.
I actually had to reapply for my driver's license the other day, so I had to double check everything about myself.
Very nice. And were you right on the answers?
Yeah, so far so good.
Well done.
Haven't been pulled over yet.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Okay, so did anything interesting happen to you guys this week?
Well, I think we should talk a little bit about OneSpark. It's in Jacksonville, Florida, which is where we're located out of. And OneSpark is the largest crowdsourcing festival in the United States, from what I've been reading on it. And basically, it's a conglomerate of like people with really interesting ideas, and they're trying to go out and basically pitch it to a lot of people to try to get their support and potentially money because of it.
There were some neat ideas. There was I talked to people about a Uber for planes idea. I talked to a guy about a neat little video game that progresses through the history of graphical styles as you play it.
That was really cool because it actually started with Atari, and then went to Nintendo, and then went to the Game Boy. So it was actually in black and white for a period of time, and then it went to like the SNES, the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
It was really, really well thought out.
It's pretty cool.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, if I actually liked video games, I'd be all about that.
So anyway, that was, we went together. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
I had a root canal yesterday.
Root canal.
Yeah, surprisingly, not quite nearly as bad as I thought. I mean, going in, I was very nervous because I'd never had one before. I've had a lot of work done in my mouth, but that sounds gross.
I was going to say, remember, this is a G-rated show.
I've had a lot of dental work.
There you go.
And
well said.
And so I was nervous about this one, but it really wasn't any worse than a crown. So lucky me, it's a little tender today. It's sore, but no big deal.
Well, which is a good thing because you're flying out tomorrow.
That's right. Flying to Las Vegas tomorrow for the New Media Expo. I'm going to get in. I'm a VIP. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
Well, you've always been a VIP to us.
Oh, thanks. So I get to go to the VIP party if I want to tomorrow night.
Yeah,
so
he's going to be all fitty.
I'm kind of up in the club. No, yeah. Not really. I'm probably going to be that guy who goes in for 20 minutes, looks around, kind of stands on the edges, and walks out because it's not my thing.
Basically looking at your shoes more than anybody else that's in there. Hi, I'm Jonathan.
If I want, I can also go to the podcast awards on Tuesday.
Who's hosting? Who's that?
Who?
Mr. Chris Jericho.
Nice. Whoa, that's outstanding. Nice. You really do need to go to that.
And I could go to the after party if I want to.
Wow, you can meet Jericho himself. See,
maybe.
I'm a big Jericho fan, so that's pretty outstanding.
Yeah, I'm not, though. So, I mean, so it's like, hey, my friend likes you.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to go over very well.
Man, all I know, but the guy is really funny, so you probably might have a good time if you go.
So I'm thinking about it. I'm going to play that one by ear.
It's a good thing Mick Foley's not hosting it if you're playing it by ear.
Or Brock Lesnar.
That's right. Yeah. You mean Sloth from the Goonies?
Sloth or Chunk?
All right. Chris, do you have a warm-up question for us?
I do, as a matter of fact. Again, this comes from the Mental Floss Split Decision book by Jason English and Ethan Traex. And today, gentlemen, your question is this a skin disease or a Dungeons & Dragons character? Yes.
Okay.
All right. So the first one is Nebulon. Nebelun. Nebulon.
I think it's a D&D character.
I'm going skin disease.
Oh, great.
And the answer is D&D character.
Yes! Is it a book series or
sadly it didn't give me any write up.
So it's
on
just
there.
Some random name they made up is what you're telling me.
That's a quite possibility. Somebody rolled their 20-sided die and came up with that character. Yeah. Not that I know anything about that.
We've all spent time in our mom's basements playing.
What's a basement?
Sorry, you're not from Florida.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm from up north. We have basements.
I never spent any time in my mom's basement.
I was going to say, you know what we call basements in Florida? A pool.
Where you bury things, yeah.
All right, the next one, gentlemen, is Hennet. H-E-N-N-E-T. Hennet.
Well, the other one was a D&D character, so I'm going to say this one was a skin disease.
I'll go with a skin disease.
D&D character.
Oh, doggone it.
Melasma. M-E-L-A-S-M-A.
Skin disease.
Skin disease.
Skin disease. It's a pigmentation of the face during pregnancy.
Oh.
What kind of, like, what color?
It says a pigmentation.
Well, it could be, pigment means,
it could be like
is a
green.
Color. Yeah, exactly. Do they get like blue face? Yeah.
You know what? I'm changing spots. Up the question because you're just asking too many things. All right. Actually, we will change up the question real quick for a couple of them. The Bible or Shakespeare?
I can do this.
Yeah, all right. This is all you.
I can do this.
The quote is, wine is a mocker. Wine is a mocker.
Shakespeare.
I thought we were naming people here.
No.
What quotes? Wine is a mocker?
Yes.
That sounds like something from Proverbs. I'm going Bible.
Proverbs 21. Oh. Listen to him. Quote, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing is it is for the eyes to behold the sun.
Shakespeare.
The Bible, Ecclesiastes. How courtesy would seem to cover sin.
Well, since it has the word sin in it, it's going to be Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Because that's them trying to trick us.
Persicles. Correct. The bard. All right. Last one for you guys. How sharper than a serpent's tooth is it to have a thankless child?
I say Bible.
Bible.
King Lear.
Oh.
Shakespeare.
Man. I'm terrible at those games.
All right. Well, thankfully, they're worth no points, and they're just for fun and for a couple laughs.
There you go. Okay, so on to the real competition where we have the chance to earn points. So here's how the game's going to work today. Since Mark is here, Mark is one of our local trivia hosts. Thanks for joining, Mark.
Yep, my pleasure.
And so the way this is going to go is there will be six major rounds. Each of those major rounds will have three questions each. And we're going to allow each question to be worth 10 points. The midpoint question will be somewhere in the neighborhood of four questions or four things that we have to name. And so those will be worth 5 points each. And then for the final, we'll be able to wager any or all of the points that we've earned. Sound good to you guys?
Yep.
So the max potentially, without us throwing any bonus questions in there, could potentially be $200 or 200 points. Wow, dollars. I'm trying to get expensive
yes,
here.
Yes, please.
Yes, exactly. Or it'll be 400 if we potentially bet everything and win it all.
That's
so.
Right.
Okay. Let's give it to Mark, man. You know, the smart guy in the room.
Yeah, okay, whatever. All right. Your first question is a science question.
Science.
Though it's normally a corrosive gas, what chemical element is routinely added to drinking water to kill bacteria?
My mom's chili.
It's a corrosive element, huh?
I forgot that my mom's now listening to this podcast, so if you could take that out, that'd be great.
Not happening.
No.
Not happening.
Sorry, Mom.
It was a good joke. Corrosive element.
Corrosive gas.
Oh, corrosive gas.
Normally corrosive gas, which chemical element is routinely added to drinking water to kill bacteria?
Yes, your bedroom usually knows this gas because it's corrosive.
That's why the paint's peeling.
It explains so much, doesn't it, Mark?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm struggling with it.
No, I'm
so let me tell you, have you already written your answer down?
I have, but I'm doubting myself.
Is there potential that you're going to change it or you're going to stick with it?
No, I'm going to go and stick with it, but I'm starting to doubt myself.
Well, I'm definitely doubting myself, so don't feel too bad.
I'm a doubting Chris, you're doubting Jonathan, and where's doubting Thomas at?
Okay, so I've written down my answer.
Okay.
Are you locked in?
Yeah, I'm locked in.
Okay, so what I was thinking before we give our answers is carbonation has carbon as its root word. So thinking carbon, but I don't know if carbon's a gas. Carbon dioxide is a gas, but that's not an element. And then I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's one of the noble gases. And then I know they put chlorine in drinking water sometimes and a few other things, but I don't know if those are gases. So I went with oxygen because I know that's a gas and I know it's poisonous, which could mean corrosive. It leads to rust. So I said oxygen.
Interesting. Okay. I did chlorine, but I was in my head, I'm going, could it be potassium?
Could be, maybe.
Because they could put, I mean, because I've heard putting potassium in drinking water. So the
answer. I don't think potassium's a gas.
Well, I mean, I don't know either, but this is a science question. Anyway.
Mark, what do you got? What's the answer?
It is chlorine.
Yes.
Dadgummit. No, they stick it in the bowls too whenever the kids pee in them and everything. Isn't that what they use to defill to whatever?
It is one of the things. You know, have you guys ever been in a pool with the color changing dye?
No.
Is that a real thing or is that kind of a myth?
It could be an urban legend or something.
Because that's awesome if it's real.
Well,
and then you'd, I guess it's not, though, because then nobody would go in the pool. It'd always be dark blue.
Everybody, yeah. Everybody would go in the bathroom where they should go anyway.
Man. Well, I don't know, but yeah, that's kind of disgusting. But winner, winner, chicken dinner, first round goes to me.
All right, 10 to nothing to, for Chris there.
All right, next question, geography.
Okay. I'm mad about that. Dadgum.
Little thinking question here for you. How many U.S. states have double letters in their names, meaning two consecutive letters that are the same? So how many U.S. states have double letters in their names?
We pause this podcast for just a moment. Thank you.
You want to know how many?
Yes.
Okay. Can we get extra credit if we name them all?
Sure.
How many extra credit points can we get if we name them all?
Two.
Only if you get them all.
If okay. you get them all, you get two.
Two if we can name them all. Okay. God, this is a great question. I love this.
It really is.
This is too much fun.
It's like I hate it and love it all at the same time.
It's really more suited for teams, having a couple of people at your table, yeah.
Not just that, but also having a song to think about it. Mm-hmm. We're using our song to think right now.
I just have songs in my head all the time, so.
Oh, is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Fall Out Boy right now.
Oh, not that new one. The Uma Thurman thing?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
Centuries?
No, my songs.
Oh, good.
I don't know that one.
Oh, yeah.
Light 'em up, up, up.
Oh, Light 'em Up. Yeah. What did you say first?
The actual title of the song is My Songs Know What You Do in the Dark.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I do like that song. I think I'm closing in on a final number here.
Okay, just give me another 30 seconds. I'm just trying to sweep the Midwest.
That's a lot of dirt.
Ba-dum-bum.
Hey. Whoa.
Especially when you get out to the desert. This is one of those where you'll be really frustrated if you get it wrong.
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to be frustrated. Okay, I got my answer.
I have my answer.
It looks like you have a lot more written down than I did, so I think I'm probably wrong.
I have six.
Ooh.
Okay.
Interesting.
And?
Wait, what do you have?
I have three, so I know I'm wrong. So I have Illinois, Mississippi, and Tennessee.
All right. Darn it.
So he obviously missed one, so it's a good possibility.
The answer is seven, isn't it?
Well, actually, he put both of your answers together. That's how many there are.
There's nine?
There are nine of them.
I came up with Minnesota, Hawaii, Mississippi, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, and Connecticut. Stupid. I missed Illinois.
Massachusetts.
Dadgummit. What's the other one?
Connecticut.
I got that
one. Yeah, you got Connecticut.
Missouri.
Missouri!
Oh,
I didn't even think
stupid
Missouri.
Midwest state.
Oh.
Did you say Illinois or Tennessee?
He did.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. That's all of them.
Which one did you miss? That I said?
Illinois.
Okay.
I didn't even think of Illinois. I did. In my head, I went North Dakota, South Dakota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio. I just skipped right over Illinois.
My fiance's from Illinois, so I had to get that one.
Oh, boy.
Oh, so is my ex-wife.
That doesn't bode well.
Yep,
because my future ex-wife's from Illinois as well.
Oh.
So we're like the three cycles of marriage here. His ex-wife is from Illinois. My future ex-wife is from Illinois, and your future wife is from Illinois.
Yes, and I'm hoping not ex-wife. Thank you.
Maybe you can
I like
break
her.
Trend.
I like her way too much.
So did I.
Yeah, I didn't.
All right. So after two questions, I'm still up 10-0.
All right.
Okay, third question is a taglines question.
Ooh.
What John Travolta movie featured the tagline, catch it?
Catch it.
Mm-hmm. Catch it.
Wow. I'm usually pretty good at these, but daggum, that's brutal.
It's almost like it should be the name of a disease or something.
I know.
You know? If we both get it wrong, let's take a moment and we'll try and work together and see if we can come up with it.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good.
That's a good idea.
I don't think I'm going to get any more answers written down, so I have my choice here.
All right, I've got one that I hate too, so.
All right.
What's your answer?
I'm going to go with Get Shorty.
Nice. I'm going with the camera enthusiast movie Blown Away.
Did either of us get it right?
Neither of you got it right.
Nine.
All right, so let's talk about this for a second.
All
right.
Okay.
So. It doesn't sound like anything from the early days, right? Not Grease, not Urban Cowboy, not Saturday Night Fever. No. Saturday Night Fever!
Bingo, there it is!
Dadgummit, it's a disease! How did...
Yep.
Wow.
I'm so mad at myself because not only did I search for diseases in my head for his movies, but I thought about what if it's an older one and went through Grease and Urban Cowboy and didn't think of Saturday Night Fever at all.
Yep. Disco is not a disease.
Oh, I'm frustrated.
Do you guys watch Lip Sync Battle?
I was with LL Cool J? I was just telling him about that yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Did you see the episode with The Rock when he did
It was
Stay
outstanding,
Alive?
Yes.
Ever since I watched that, where I teach in at the school I teach at, they have it's an outdoor school, so you go down the sidewalks to go to the other buildings. If there's a stretch that's more than like 50 feet long, I find myself doing a little Staying Alive, like the little funk step.
That's
like
awesome.
I put a little pep in it, and I'm like, oh.
Kind of rolling your hands?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, like every day, 20 times
a day. What was funny was I was telling him about The Rock doing Shake It Off. That part cracked me up, but you're right. Him doing Staying Alive was outstanding.
I can't get it out of my head. Now, the other night, it was Anne Hathaway doing Wrecking Ball.
Oh my gosh.
Now I'm just looking for something to swing off of so I can run across the room.
Like I said, Jonathan, this show screams your name. It's just so funny and so out there, and just they've done a great job with it so far.
That's cool.
And there's a championship belt for the winner. That's the best part.
Yeah, that's nice.
I know, right?
So it's still 10-0?
10-0 going into the second round.
All right, make it easier.
We're stinking the joint up here. I'm really mad at myself for that one, though. That was pretty easy.
Man. Second round.
We've got to get a moment of zen here. Some feng shui.
Yeah, he's doing something corrosive again.
Is that chili I smell?
Not anymore.
Aw. Poor mom.
All right, are we ready?
We're ready.
Round two. Your first question is an advertising question.
Okay.
What famous brand mascot wears a red ascot around his neck? What famous brand mascot wears a red ascot around his neck? So who is that character?
Oh, wow.
So an ascot, the only ascot I've ever seen.
Here he goes.
Is Fred from Scooby-Doo. Right? That's an ascot?
That is.
That little neck scarf
thing?
Yes,
a little neckerchief.
See, I have two answers. I'm going to go with the first one I wrote down, because usually I go with the second one and then kick myself because the first one's right. But I'm going to...
Yeah, don't answer it yet. I haven't thought of it.
No, I'm saying I've wrote it down. I'm done. So you can talk it through if you want.
Okay. I don't know if I have much to talk about. Who might wear an ascot? It's not the Hamburger Helper guy.
Yeah, he doesn't even have a neck.
Hamburglar.
Oh, I just thought of another one.
He wears a wristcot. I'm thinking about our Big Boys logo and Bob's Big Boy... And I don't think there's an ascot, but I know there's red in there.
Throw me a freaking bone here. I'm the boss. They hunt you.
Who wears an ascot? Oh, my God.
Man, Mark's making us an ascot right now.
I know. I haven't gotten anything right yet.
I thought this was an easier one.
Honestly, I'm really hoping it's the first one, because that way I think it's easy because it was right off the bat. But then I've got this one nagging little thing in the back of my head.
I only know two characters that do, and one wears the blue one, I think.
Hmm.
I feel like my brain isn't turned on yet. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Seriously, though, because I'm not thinking well right now.
Man, and I was the one that was up early for a soccer game today, too. What the heck, dude?
There you go. I stayed up late last night, though.
Yep, ditto.
All right, I'm not coming up with anything. I'm going to say Bob's Big Boy.
Okay.
My answer is the Michelin Man.
Oh, no.
No, he doesn't have
any clothes on. He doesn't have any clothes on.
Yeah, he's just tired.
I thought he had something around him, though.
No.
Although it would be kind of interesting if he just had an ascot around his neck, but nothing else.
I was thinking it was the Keebler Elf.
No. Oh, that's a good one, too.
I know
Twinkie the Kid wears one, but I think he's it's a blue one.
Okay.
It is Tony the Tiger.
Oh, man.
You guys are not great.
Well played. Well played.
Oh, my God. We're getting destroyed right now.
We really are. And the
We're both losing, in my opinion.
Yes. Sad part is these are not bad questions at all.
No.
Total confidence on this next one.
All right.
You guys are both going to get it. It's a music question.
I hope not.
Okay.
No, it's true. Within 2 years either way, what year did Paul McCartney announce the breakup of the Beatles?
Okay.
Have you written down?
Yeah.
What's really interesting about this to me is we've had a recent Beatles question not that long ago.
Had a couple of them, actually.
And it was about when their last album came out.
No.
And so I know exactly what year Let It Be came out, which was their last album, but it may not be related to when they broke up.
But will you let it be the right answer is the question.
Oh. All right, so I'm going to add on a year to that date, thinking that if it is that exact year, I'm within the two-year window, but I want to give myself as much as possible. I'm going to say 1972.
Wow. Actually, that's exactly the same answer I wrote.
Wow. It was 1970.
Yes.
So you guys are both there. Credit.
They released Let It Be in 1971.
I do not know.
They released an album after they broke up?
They might have had it already, you know, recorded and everything, and then cut it after the announcement.
Wow.
Yeah, because remember, I mean, when they record stuff, it takes forever to finish doing all the slicing and everything to it.
Okay, so, I mean, so we were both in the exact same place.
And also, remember what you talked about during that question was that they recorded everything separately.
That's true.
So not only are you recording it, I mean, you're recording the parts and then splicing it all together, so that makes perfect sense.
Maybe they didn't record it separately. Maybe it was stuff that they had recorded in the past, and they just said, hey, we're going to make a little last-ditch effort to make some money here.
That's a possibility, too. Who knows? But hey, the point is, we're back on the board, kids.
Yay.
Did you use that frame of reference for that year?
Absolutely. I pushed it back a year just to be
honest. Just like I did.
Because I wanted it 70 to 74.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well played.
Shake it off. I've been trying to tell people on Twitter, this show is great practice for real trivia.
Yeah. Thanks, Tony the
That's
Tiger.
That's a good idea.
How's your ascot?
It's great. No, this is really good because not only have we heard questions. By the way, have you used questions from the show intentionally on writing questions for Trivia Nation?
Oh, no. I mean, we might have run across them. I have the same problem with the other question writer. Occasionally... Yeah. Within a week of each other, we'll have the same question. I'm
That's amazing.
I pull from like 15 different sources in my head also.
That's kind of awesome.
So not only
sometimes
have we run across questions where we knew the answer exactly immediately because we had asked the same one earlier, it's happening on Jeopardy all the time. And we've pre-recorded stuff, so it's not like we're asking the questions we saw on Jeopardy.
Right.
Legitimately, they're asking the same question we did a week or two after we recorded it.
That's crazy.
It's amazing. It's happened four or five questions.
Are you calling shenanigans on somebody?
Man, if somebody from Jeopardy's listening, just want you to know, my name is Jonathan Oakes. My email address is trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Hook me up, all right?
And he's normally a lot better at trivia than he's showing in this episode.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Okay, let's keep going.
All right. It's 20 to 10 right now, going into the last question in the second round.
Yep.
Finishing up the round, we have a sports question.
Sports.
All right.
What National Hockey League team plays in the Staples Center?
Okay, I think it's finally a hockey question I know the answer to.
God, I hope this is right. I'm going to be mad at myself if it's wrong.
I've written it down, so.
All right, so I think the Staples Center is in Los Angeles. I think that's where the Clippers play. So I'm going to say the Los Angeles Kings.
Well, it's also the home of the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Los Angeles Kings.
It is the LA Kings. Good Woo! Job.
All right. First question of the third round?
Yep. History is your category.
Okay.
Who was the ruler of Libya for 42 years until 2011?
I can write it down if you want to talk it out.
That's probably good just for the simple fact I don't think I could spell his name if I wanted to.
Spelling doesn't count.
Okay.
Not after school hours and on weekends.
All right. My answer is Muammar Gaddafi.
Okay.
I said Gaddafi.
Yep. You got it.
See, and I even said his first name, because Jonathan's and pub quizzes is afraid of saying first names and for answers.
I used to play brain brawl as a teenager in high school, and we were taught only use last names, because you might accidentally mess up their first name. You might say Robert Kennedy instead of John Kennedy, or you might be on the right track but get them mixed up. And so it's better just to use last names and force them to ask you for more info.
True.
So yep. All I'm saying is Gaddafi had the craziest hair ever. If you ever go back and look at pictures of him, that dude had Jerry curl like nobody's business.
I have a wig just like that at home.
Not even going to ask, Mark.
I dress up as Rick James.
Man. Halloween. Sure, that's it.
Yep. All right, your next category is food in film.
Okay.
In the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, what dinner item does Richard Dreyfuss use to make a model of Devil's Tower?
I don't know if I've ever seen the whole movie. You wrote down your answer?
Yeah, mine's done.
I'm going with mashed potatoes. It seems like the logical choice.
That's actually, I'm around the same thing. I said meatloaf.
Oh, it was the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I got a movie question that Chris missed. I feel awesome. Everything is awesome.
Wow.
Wow, I'm stunned. I'm actually stunned by this. Okay. All right, cool.
Ooh, shocking.
So we're tied.
We are tied.
Going
now.
Into the last question of the third round?
40 to 40. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Your category is space.
You know, it is the final frontier.
All right, your question. Which space probe is the farthest human-made object from Earth? Is it Explorer 1, Viking 1, or Voyager 1? So which space probe is the farthest homemade object from Earth?
Okay, I got mine written down.
I think this is actually a movie question for both me and Chris. So you wrote yours down?
Yes.
I said Voyager 1.
I said Voyager 1 as well.
It is Voyager 1.
You know how we knew that?
No.
Star Trek 1, the original motion picture, they run across a sentient being, a mechanical sentient being, for lack of a better word, called V'ger, which turned out to be the original space probe Voyager 1 that had gone off and gained sentience in deep space, and they ran across it 200 years later.
I did not know that.
Is that where you knew that from? Is that how you got that?
No, I actually just knew that answer.
Oh, wow. So I went the long way this time.
One of my oldest friends in the world, his dad actually worked in Titusville at Space Command. I mean, he was actually in the room when all the Apollo missions went on.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty outstanding. Andy.
Really?
So, yeah.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Midpoint question.
Yep.
Are we tied? We're tied.
50-50 yeah. Going into halftime.
Nice.
All right. Okay, your halftime question. Name four of the five highest grossing non-animated Angelina Jolie films at the domestic box office.
Goodness gracious.
You can only go with four, but it got to be out of the top five.
Non-animated.
Yep.
Yes, yeah, so no Kung Fu Panda.
Yep, no voiceovers, no cartoons.
In about a minute, I'm going to ask you to read this question again, just so you know. Oh, Chris is going to smoke me so bad at this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the biggest Angelina Jolie fan. So.
Yeah, but I'm brain dead right now. I can't think of any of them. Well, I can, but they're all hackers.
Crap movies,
you know,
yeah.
They're things that there's no way they're
Gia.
In.
Gia.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay, I got my four.
Do you?
Yeah.
So I can talk freely?
Yeah.
There's one where she's a spy that's not too recent. That's pretty recent, the last couple of years. And good Lord, I can't think of what it is. It's like Red something. All right, I have my four, and I feel like they're all going to be wrong.
So, all right, I'll let you go first then.
I'm really upset.
I don't know. Last time you nailed the hockey question out of the ballpark.
It's because I know something about hockey. All right, I'm going with Tomb Raider 1, Tomb Raider 2, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and Gone in 60 Seconds.
Okay, I forgot about Tomb Raider. That's a pretty good guess right there. Okay, I went with Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Wanted, Gone in 60 Seconds, and Maleficent.
Oh, I didn't think of Maleficent.
Okay.
I also, for the record, I thought about Beowulf, but I didn't put it in because I wasn't sure if she's considered animated in that one.
It is considered animated because it was a digitally... But also, it didn't make squat for money.
The only other thing I wrote down was Girl Interrupted.
I didn't think about that one.
I can't believe I forgot about Tomb Raider. I just watched it the other day. Well, I watched like 3 seconds of it and then changed the channel.
I'm hoping number two made money. I'm thinking number one's probably on the
list.
Yeah,
but I think two made squat.
Well... Chris, you have three of them.
Okay.
Jonathan, you have two.
All right. I'm happy I have two.
It's Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Wanted, Maleficent, Lara Croft Tomb Raider, and Salt.
Salt is the movie I was trying to think of. That's the spy movie I was trying to think of. Doggone it, if I thought of that, I would have got it right.
So not Red.
Not Red.
Salt. Doggone, Chris. I would have had my three to tie you. Fudge.
I cannot believe so. Gone in 60 Seconds was not, man.
Not in there.
Another one of those crappy Nicolas Cage movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, coming out of halftime, Jonathan and I am up slightly, 65-60.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Close match. I'm just saying it. I'm not mocking. Somebody's a sore loser.
And somebody's not a loser yet.
I was going to say, it's not even over with yet. He's going,
I'm not a loser.
All right, round four. Your first category is a music question.
Okay.
One of record producer and rapper Pitbull's many nicknames is Mr. What? Also, the area code for Miami-Dade County in South Florida. So he's known as Mr. What?
Okay, I got it.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
I listened to some Pitbull songs, and I know he calls himself all kinds of stuff in the songs, and I can't remember it.
Well, I just knew it from the second part of the question.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm going to miss it by one digit. Mr. 911.
Hey, it's a joke in Yo-Town.
You wrote yours down?
Yeah.
I'm hearing either Mr. 304 or Mr. 305. It could be one of those. I'm going to say he's Mr. 305.
All right.
He is Mr. 305.
Yes, he is.
Oh, thank you, woo. Jesus. Thank you.
I don't think Jesus gave you that answer.
Oh, whatever. Sure. Jesus gave me all my smarts.
There's a lot of Jesus in Miami County.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I got that right. That's so awesome. I'm so excited.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Yeah.
Whew, I almost said 304. Oh. I really did. It was close.
Your next category is geography.
Okay.
At 900,000 square miles and located in the Middle East, what is the second largest desert in the world?
Mm.
For the record, Jonathan does not like desert questions. He prefers to put an extra S in there and make it dessert questions.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. Mine's written down, so if you want to talk it through.
Okay. So I know the Gobi is in the eastern part, no, the western part of China, but it stretches. It's a pretty big desert. So it depends on if you think of Tibet and Nepal and those countries as being Middle Eastern. But I think it's going to be the one in Saudi Arabia. Actually, I think most of Saudi Arabia is desert, and they're only really populated in the exterior portions of it. I don't know if it's called the Arabian Desert or the Saudi Desert, though. I'm going to go with the Arabian Desert.
Okay, I went with chocolate mousse. No, I went with the Sahara.
Oh.
Sahara's in Africa.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely not Middle East.
It's the Arabian Desert.
Nice.
Yes.
Man.
Woo. Plus, the Sahara's the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. It's huge. In fact, you could put a lot of countries in there.
Mm. All right. Your last category of round four is a president's question.
Okay.
Alrighty then.
Who was the president at the start of the 20th century?
I got my answer.
Yeah, I got mine too. I'm just writing it down because I know you're... Yeah, but we know the answer.
I'm saying William McKinley.
Okay, maybe we don't. I'm going to say it's Teddy Roosevelt because it was 1898.
1901.
William McKinley.
Nice.
Yep. 1901.
McKinley was elected in 98, I think, and died in 01, and TR took over.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Scoring update?
Yeah, after a six...
Four rounds.
Thank you. Four rounds in the halftime. Jonathan, you smoked me in that round pretty good, man. It's a 90-75.
Whoa, man. All right. Jumping out now.
All right.
I'm coming out, so you better get the party.
Okay, you want, guy, everybody's rooting for me now just to have you stop singing.
I've got to be impartial, but I'm kind of siding with Chris. All right. Round five. Your first category is a history question.
Okay.
Who was the emperor of the Roman Empire when the year turned from 1 BC to 1 AD? Do you want multiple choice?
No.
No.
All right.
All right, I've written mine down, so you can talk if you want.
No, I've written mine down too, but I'm going to go ahead and talk because I'm going to pull the Jonathan and say it was Caesar.
Correct! Not good enough.
All right. Hey, you said to always put down the last
name. That's not a last name, it's a title.
Yeah, actually, it was the last name for somebody.
No, it really wasn't.
Really? It's not
a
name?
It is a title.
Huh.
I disagree with that statement, my friend. Anyway, I'm going to say it was Augustus Caesar.
All righty.
It was Caesar Augustus.
Yep, you are correct. Okay, literature is your next category. Here is a quote. In my younger and more vulnerable years, my father gave me some advice that I've been turning over in my mind ever since. That's the opening line from what famous 1925 literary work?
Oh, good Lord.
Want it again?
Yes, please.
In my younger and more vulnerable years, my father gave me some advice that I had been turning over in my mind ever since. That's the opening line from what famous 1925 literary work?
I have something in my head, but I'm kind of playing tennis right now. Okay, hold on. I'm going to write my answer down. So
I have mine, too. I have it. That's the only one I'm going to come up with.
Okay, go ahead.
It feels like it might be a John Steinbeck novel, but the 20s, I got to go with The Great Gatsby.
Wow. I was actually going back and forth from The Old Man and the Sea and Hemingway, but I actually wrote The Great Gatsby also.
You guys are good.
Was it?
It's The Great Gatsby,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. The year, if you didn't say the year, it wouldn't have been anywhere near it.
Right.
But the year, anything, there's only one book synonymous with the 20s, and it's The Great Gatsby.
Yeah. But see, and that's what kind of threw me off a little bit, because he said it was written 1925.
And I thought Gatsby was written after, about the period.
That's
me
exactly
too.
Right. Yeah.
Me too.
Last question of the round is a government question.
Okay.
What decade in the 1900s did we see the last amendment to the U.S. Constitution ratified.
Oh.
So what decade did we see the last amendment?
I think I know what the last amendment is.
I have mine written down if you want to talk it out.
Okay. I think the last amendment is the one that says the president's term, the presidential term limit down to 2 terms. I think that's what the amendment is. And if that's the case, it would have happened right after Roosevelt, because he got elected in 1932 and was president until 1946 is when he died, 46, 45. Anyway, he had 4 terms. So that means it's either going to be the 40s, right after Truman, but usually the legal process takes longer to work than that. So I'm going to say the 1950s.
Okay. Here, my answer is the 1970s, and that's when they put the legal voting age down to 18.
Oh, that might be it.
But the interesting part is I actually did some research on that because I was doing a question for you a little bit ago, and it was the vote went in for the presidential term limit in the 50s, but it actually didn't get ratified until like 62.
Oh, so I said the legal process takes a long time to work.
My answer is the 70s.
All right. It was the 27th Amendment, which, by the way...
27th? I thought there was only 26.
Yeah.
Which prohibits the increase of salary members of Congress to take place until their next term.
Oh, so they that was the 1990s, dadgummit.
It took place in 1992. So the
90s. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I've been living in a world where I don't know how many amendments our Constitution has.
Well, now you do.
It doesn't affect your salary.
Man.
Until someday. Oh, my goodness.
Mind blown.
It really is. I can't believe there's the 27th Amendment I didn't even know about. It's embarrassing.
All right, so Jonathan is up 110 to 95.
And we have one last round here?
Yes.
Yep, I made no ground up on that one.
All right, starting out the last round, inventors is your category.
Okay.
That's a great question.
Wow.
Who invented, I don't know if I can get through
the
it
preface
even.
Preface here.
Who invented the mechanism found in the toilet tank that fills it but avoids the overflow, also known as the ball cock?
Now we see. Wait. This
now
is
we know why he wanted to giggle about it. Yeah. I think I have an answer.
Okay, I wrote mine down, so go for it.
I believe the man's name is John Crapper.
Okay.
I was going to go because he created everything else, Thomas Edison.
Oh. Once again, if you took both of your answers and put them together, you would have it. It was Thomas Crapper.
Oh, damn it! You were with the first thing.
You would have just said Crapper. You would have got
oh
it.
Oh, my God. I'm so mad at myself. I just explained
to you
why it's important to always just give the last name, and I just messed up and proved my point while missing the question.
You just flushed those points down.
Oh, yeah, for the win.
That stinks.
But oh, I'm really mad about that, though, seriously.
Man, you look really pissed off.
Because... God, that's stretching.
Okay.
Okay, your next category is movies. What was the first teen flick that was directed by John Hughes?
Oh, this is such a Chris question. The first teen flick directed by John Hughes. Okay, I have my answer. I'll write it down so you can talk, because thanks. You'll have a lot more to say than
yeah,
I will.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it, and there's... Because this is one of my guys. I love John Hughes movies. I mean, there's... And I'm going to probably kick myself a little bit because, okay, the three that are in my head right now is Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 16 Candles, and Breakfast Club. And so my answer is 16 Candles, but I'm not confident in it whatsoever.
My answer is The Breakfast Club, maybe just because it was the biggest in my mind out of those. I didn't think of Ferris Bueller's Day Off at all.
Well, the reason
so I said
went,
Breakfast Club.
The reason I went with 16 Candles was also, I mean, John Hughes was said that that movie made Molly Ringwald his ingenue.
Oh,
like basically.
Oh, well, like, knowing that would help me answer differently, I think.
So, what's the answer, Mark?
It is 16 Candles.
Boom! It wasn't Teen Wolf? Did he do Teen Wolf, by
no,
the way?
No, he did not do Teen Wolf.
Ah, darn.
Mm.
So, but he also, I mean, if I remember correctly, did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes.
I love Plane Trains. That movie has heart.
Uncle Buck.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
Uncle Buck was fantastic.
By the way,
very underrated John Candy movie.
If I was scoring, I'd give you an extra point for knowing the word ingenue. But I'm not scoring, so you don't get it. Yeah.
Your final question of the round. Sports.
Sports.
Who is the all-time NFL points scoring leader?
Okay, thank goodness he said football, because I was going to say Wilt Chamberlain. Nothing from you guys? Nothing at all?
Oh, scoring. Yes. Oh, no, I get it.
He said points.
You said scoring.
Oh, boy. It's one of two guys in my head, and I honestly don't know which of the two, but I know which one I'm going with, and I'm just hoping for the best.
Okay, I'm writing mine down, and then you can talk it through.
Okay. All right, so in the NFL, kickers are the players that score the most points because they basically have the most opportunities. And there are two kickers. There's actually three kickers who are known to have kicked forever, right? You have George Blanda, who played for, I think, the Raiders, maybe a couple of others. Actually, now that I think about it,
Redskins, Raiders, stuff like that, yeah.
I'm honestly tempted to change what I was thinking because Blanda also played quarterback. The other two guys who I was debating over are Gary Anderson, longtime kicker for the Minnesota Vikings.
Steelers.
And Morton Anderson, who played mostly for the Saints and Falcons. Both of them had 23 or 24-year careers. I'm going with Morton Anderson, but I won't be surprised at all if it's George Blanda.
Yeah, my answer is Morton Anderson.
It sucks when you have to go with a first name on this one, too. But
Gary Anderson?
Morton Anderson.
Yes.
You guys actually got it.
We'll take it.
Good job.
Now I want to look that up. I want to know where George Blanda falls on that list, because I might have just been talking out of my butt and I have to edit the whole thing.
Going into the final round, Jonathan, you are up by 5 points. It's 120 to 115.
And hey, we're coming around. Our scores aren't bad after starting really poorly.
Yeah, honestly, usually second rounds are the harder questions, and we actually ate those up pretty good.
All right.
With relish.
All right, let's see how well we do. What's the category, my
Your
friend?
Category is Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Go on, girl.
That way too well.
Wow.
Anyway,
I see children running to the door.
Chijin.
It was our call.
Oh wait, I went back to my inner Mike Tyson there. I'm gonna eat you, Chijin.
I would eat your children.
All right.
So we're putting down our wagers. We're thinking about our wagers right now.
Yeah, because
how many
knows?
Points do we have?
Okay, you have 120. I have 115.
All right, I have my wager written down.
Yeah, I'm not feeling very confident about my wager at all, but it's written down.
All right.
All right. Category is Michael Jackson.
All right.
Put the following children in order that he has touched.
Macaulay Culkin.
I just had to throw. Yes, you win. I just had to throw that out there. All right.
Soiks.
Michael Jackson is the category. Put these Michael Jackson albums in order from the earliest to be released at the top down to the most recent.
Okay.
Your albums are.
Darn.
Invincible. Dangerous. His Story, Past, Present, and Future, Book 1, and Thriller. Invincible, Dangerous, His Story, Past, Present, and Future, Book 1, and Thriller.
All right, I'm locked in.
From earliest to most recent?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm locked in too.
Okay, so my answer...
You want to go one at a time? Or your first one was?
Thriller.
Thriller, me too. Second one was?
Dangerous.
Dangerous, me too. That was 1992-ish, 1993.
I think it was a little bit more than that, but yeah.
No, I bought it at a far more in that year. I think. The first albums I ever bought, I bought 3 CDs. The first ones I ever bought with my own money were We Can't Dance by Genesis.
Nice.
No.
Hot Rocks, Rolling Stones, and Dangerous, Michael Jackson. I bought all three of them at the same time.
My very first one when I bought my first CD player, which was a Discman. Kid you not, was Pearl Jam 10.
Really?
Wow. Completely love that. Wow. I'm so excited that that was my first CD.
Okay, third one?
Third one is History.
Oh, I said Invincible.
Okay, and four is Invincible.
And I said History.
Because Invincible, I thought, was the most recent one that was put out.
It's very possible.
All right.
In which case, I'd be much happier with my wager if I got it wrong.
All right, first one, 1982, Thriller. 91, Dangerous.
Nice job.
95, History.
Yes!
And 2001, Invincible.
So I bet zero, and I was doomed either way because I wasn't going to get it right, and I wasn't going to get any points. So I think, Chris, what did he wager?
105 points.
Oh, my goodness.
105 big ones, baby.
Oh, man. I just lost again. You know, Mark, this marks the... No, I won the second game.
Yeah, yes, you did.
Okay.
So, at the end of the game, Chris Hollister, 220 points.
That's a big
Jonathan,
number.
Jonathan, 120.
Wow. You almost doubled me up.
Man, I'm really surprised. You're right. I figured you were going to go at least like 50 or 60 points.
Yeah.
And because of it being Michael Jackson, because you're really, really good normally with music questions and stuff like that. And I'm usually riding on your coattails like nobody's business. And so
I thought it was going to be a harder question, even though I missed this one. Right. I would have taken more time to think about it, I think. But I thought it was going to be something like which album sold the most records kind of deal. And I had no confidence in my ability to answer
well,
that.
Well, if I thought about that, too. And I was just like, say Thriller.
Yeah, right. Number one. Yeah. With a bullet.
Say Bad. Okay, that's two. All the rest of them, we can fight it out. But those two, I knew for a shadow of a doubt.
Oh,
one,
my
two.
Goodness. All right, Chris. So that's a win for Chris.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
You know what? It's kind of like when you're throwing darts, occasionally you're going to get the bullseye.
Wow. So he takes this. It's very laissez-faire. It doesn't really matter. And, you know, I love when I win.
No, I'm very excited about the win, but I don't gloat like some in this room do.
Oh, yeah. You've never gloated before.
No, honestly.
I think we have audio evidence to the contrary.
Okay, bring it on. I'm willing to hear that.
All right, so let's wrap it up. Hey, guys, thank you for listening. I want to encourage you guys to share these episodes, right? So we post them on Facebook and Twitter and other places, and they're also on our website, www.trivialwarfare.com. And we're also on YouTube. I've had a lot of great feedback from people, so I know people are listening, and I know that people are enjoying the show. If you're one of those people, hit the share button. Let other people get to enjoy the show along with you. All right. We appreciate you.
Also, we'd love an email or two. I mean, we'd be more than happy to read an email or two talking about the show. I mean, I think that'd be kind of fun.
No, so. That's right. Oh, you know what? Speaking of that, I wanted to mention our friend Kel Sowers.
Yes.
Kel went out there, big man that he is, with the awesome mustache, and put a review out on iTunes for us.
Actually, sadly, he's mustacheless now.
He doesn't have his mustache anymore?
He does not, because he's trying to become a referee, and they don't allow the mustaches.
All right, even though he did put a review out on iTunes, I'm going to take back this shout-out. I'm no longer shouting out to Kel,
because
he doesn't have his mustache anymore, and that means he's much less cool.
Yeah, he's still bigger than you.
Not really.
Okay,
not a chance, actually.
Not a chance?
No, he's about 150 pounds smaller than me.
Anyway, Kel, it was good to hear your feedback, and we appreciate it very much.
All right, so let's get out of here, Chris.
All right, well, thank you very much again for joining us. Please feel free to email us at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, till next time, that's Jonathan. I'm Chris. That's Mark. Thanks again, Mark, for joining us tonight.
You got it.
And remember, this is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war.
Peace!
What was the teen flick? Oh, crap.
Crapper.
Yeah, I'm stuck on crap. I celebrate his work all the time.
You make donations to his cause.
Nice deposit today.